Hello, hello, and welcome back for the 20th Metroplexity podcast. We're getting up there. One more in our podcast we'll be able to drink, which actually sounds kind of awesome now that I think about it. But so we've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. I'm sort of sneaking it in here because there's actually something pretty exciting going in tonight, so I wanted to get the podcast out between the mirror and the exciting thing. So, hopefully that'll work out. Should be able to, you know, get this posted by rollover time. So I expect to have a ton of questions about the mirror, so I will just answer those as they come up. If at the end I mysteriously haven't gotten a lot of questions about it, I'll just ramble a little bit, but I trust that there will be just cause for rambling before I get to the bottom. All right. First of all, we've got a whole block of questions from Francis Fixon. First, are the Hungry Ooze, Crystallized Flame, Mysterious Puzzle, Festive Hat, Torn Pants, and other classic unearthly items still in his exhortation? Yeah, absolutely. The items are basically going to be on that rotation until a reasonable amount of them enter the in-game economy. I'm shooting at like 500-ish, and I don't think, I haven't double-checked the numbers recently, but I don't think any of them are even remotely close to that. So just so that there are enough so that, you know, the content doesn't just get locked up and go away, basically. So I expect some of them will fall out of rotation sooner than others. Like, you know, if there's an item that, you know, everybody thinks is terrible, it'll probably stick around for more rotations, which isn't the end of the world. I mean, you know, it's if somebody wants to, you know, I guess it being in more rotations in a lot of ways makes it better. So it's sort of a self-balancing mechanism. You know, in a way that I think is not even really intended, but kind of interesting. Will the second legacy slot eventually be made to allow things like the puzzle to appear again? I should read the rest of the question that I was actually chuckling at. Please say yes, I'd buy it even if the unearthly coin cost went up. Plan is basically, so obviously we're not actually on a yearly cycle where there's an item released every month, although, you know, heaven's willing, I will actually get an item out for August. But what will happen is they'll rotate in sort of like year-long blocks. So there'll always, and by year-long I mean 12 item long. So there'll be, we'll go through, you know, and right now there's, you know, the current items, and then an item from year one. And then later, when we're in year three, so to speak, there'll be, you know, the current items, and then an item from year one and an item from year two, all at the same time, so there'll be seven at that point. And then, as I was saying before, they'll sort of get knocked out as enough of them enter the economy. And those will be, I should clarify that those will be knocked out, like, at the end of the rotation. So it's not like, oh, I bought, you know, the 500th one, they're gone. it'll be like, oh, it's over 500, it won't be rotated back in a year, it's done. And I'll start announcing when we're even remotely close to that, when it actually starts happening. So it won't sneak up on anybody. But, yeah, that's the situation. The stuff will keep cycling through. It just got to a point where it was really cumbersome having, you know, 13, 14, 15 items in the list, and it was sort of stagnating the game as far as running through. Like, if you were someone who was donating a lot, I think that was really sort of causing problems as far as the texture of the game. Like, you would really be losing out on a lot of the game if you donated enough, which is not what I want to be doing. So, hence the rotation. But you didn't even ask about that. what was the hardest part of making the mirror? Honestly, the process of getting it broken up into small enough chunks that I could work on them. It's obviously a huge project. I mean, you've got, you know, the zones and all of their, you know, all of their scripting for the special encounters, and you've got all of the shards and the crafting, and then, you know, their uses if they actually have uses directly, and then the crafting from, you know, the mislit items, and it was really just sort of overwhelming for a while. I needed to do a lot of breaking that down, and so it ended up getting a lot of time was a lot more time than I'd like to admit, I guess, was spent just like panicking and not getting anything done and trying to find some place to start that wasn't looped back into everything else. So when item grants a buff, it's easier to, you know, just create the buff, then create the item, set all of its stuff up, and point it to the buff, you know, stuff like that. But it starts to get into the point where they get really circular after a while. So I just had to, you know, break stuff up, sort of bite the bullet and choose, you know, what order I'd be doing things in. And I guess you can see that to some extent with the item IDs. I just went through and did all the items that came out of the mirror, and then all the mislit items, some crafting stuff sort of mixed in there, and then all of the crazy combinations. And once I had all that set up, I really got to dig more into the coding and zone creation, because the encounters, of course, give you the items, which give you, you know, the buffs and the techniques and all of these things. And those, of course, play back into the encounters. So it sort of, you know, it took a long time to cut that knot, so to speak. What was your favorite video game as a kid? As a kid, I'm not sure it technically counts as me being a kid. I want to say at least a teenager. But I would say pretty easily Chrono Trigger. And later on, like, there were some other ones. I also liked Final Fantasy 3/6 at about the same time. But Chrono Trigger, I think, is a pretty clear winner there. Although you can't go wrong with Kafka. But the, and they apparently re-released that. I wonder if he still makes a terrible 16-bit laugh. And then I moved on and played a lot of Planescape Torment, which is, I think, some of the things that their designs sort of waggled their eyebrows at suggestively, you know, ended up being sort of formative thoughts about in the early design of Metroplexity. So I owe a lot to them there. By which I mean, if you haven't played the game, it's the first game, at least, that I was exposed to that really looked the concept of your character being immortal in the eye. Like, there are a lot of puzzles that you're like, you wake up in a morgue, which is kind of, well, the morgue in Sigil, which is kind of funny to begin with, but you, there are a lot of puzzles where you do things like just off yourself in creative ways. Like, there's this whole dungeon filled with terrible traps you can only get through by killing yourself several times, which totally makes sense in the context of the game as well. That's the thing that I think they really did with that game, that I think is really impressive. They really stepped back, and made a game that made as much sense as a tabletop RPG, but on a computer. Like in a tabletop RPG, like, you either, you know, the GM cheats and you don't die, or, you know, you get resurrected or whatever, or your character actually does die and just come back with a new character. And that's just not something that, or, you know, you're immortal somehow. Actually, wow, totally going off on a tangent, but I'm running a Nobilis game now, which is very likely the strangest game I've ever had the pleasure of GMing, because it's, the characters in the game are Nobilis, they're nobles, their powers, and they're invested with one of the underpinning concepts of reality. So, like, our party is the power of vengeance, the power of puppets, and the power of windows. And they just embody and control those domains. And so, like, you end up with really, both really interesting, like interplays between, you know, the characters and their estates, the things that they represent, and, like, you know, the other nobles, because there's only supposed to be, like, 200 of them on Earth or something like that. So they're sort of, if not a tight-knit group, at least you run into the same ones sort of over and over, which creates, I think, a lot better opportunity for character development and drama with the NPCs. But it also leads to some seriously weird problem-solving. Like, you can do things like, I make his motivations as transparent as a window, and that's just, like, I mean, you've got sort of this vast toolbox of, depending on, you know, what your stats are, you've got this really, really powerful toolbox of just, like, divine gifts, basically, that you can use, that are very open-ended, but tied back into, like, your estate and your stats in a way that's a little mind-bending, but not complicated from rules front, which is a pretty fantastic combination. And it's diceless, which is also a little weird for me. I'm the sort of, well, roll, see if it works, you know, sort of DM a lot of the time. Just let the dice figure it out if I don't really care, if it doesn't matter for the plot. But, yeah, that's interesting. Oh, but the reason I was thinking about that is one of the NPCs in the game is the power of murder, in the sense that he's murder in the one murder is a tragedy, 1,000 murders is a statistic. So he's, that's sort of like his thing. He's about, like, the repercussions of murder, if that makes sense. But it's not here or there. But he has one of his abilities is that he can't be intentionally killed. Like, doesn't work. It doesn't matter how much reality has to cheat to make him not get killed intentionally. It's just not possible. So, it's just sort of looped back into the whole immortality concept. Totally got off track there, but, you know, whatever. Have you ever tried LARPing? Not in a large-scale sort of sense. Most of the role-playing that we do is so free-form that the only really appreciable difference between it and LARPing is that we're usually just not doing it in public. But I haven't actually done anything like any of the big vampire LARPs or anything like that. I'm not sure if it's still running. There used to be a huge one down on the campus here at Ohio State. And the temptation to call them on Breaking the Masquerade, because they were so clearly vampire LARPers, was a little tempting. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, that, you know, really? But, like, our non-gamer friends figured out that they were vampire LARPers. Like, they didn't know what LARPing was or what vampire was, and they knew that they were, you know, weird geeks pretending to be vampires. So, They weren't doing a very good job on the whole masquerade thing. But what I would actually be interested in doing at some point, like in the indeterminate, like maybe someday sort of future, is there are Legend of the Five Rings LARPs periodically. I believe they have one every year at Gen Con, but there are a couple of others as well. There's an online roleplay one they do every year or every other year for the Winter Court. That's pretty cool. In that it's a little more, well, it ties, it's sort of like the Halloween content, if that makes sense. Like, you know, your normal, like, there's sort of your normal LARP game of, like, you know, all of the intrigue and stuff. Because most LARP games, things like Neuroside, don't really do, like, combat. But Rokugan, the setting of Legend of the Five Rings, has a really rich courtly tradition that's actually very well documented. And, like, the people involved and how they interrelate and, like, the you know, the traditions themselves and how they work in Rokugan, which is influenced by Japan, but not necessarily a strict lifting of their traditions. Simplified, certainly. 'Cause nobody wants to deal with that. But the... the thing about it that I think is cool, like I was saying, with the Halloween content, is that L5R's whole shtick with, you know, their CCG line especially, but, you know, the official LARPs they run and a couple of other things, like votes and stuff in the online community, is that it actually feeds back into the storyline. And that's pretty cool. Their second oldest collectible card game that's still around. They also have, like, the RPG and the so forth. Some board games, too. just kind of cool. Actually, yeah, one of the board games is getting a storyline effect this year at Gen Con, too.
Would you be willing to try it, resume it? There are three huge groups in Ohio, and my group's in Southern Michigan. If I gave you the event date, could you come to one?
Actually, there are two obstacles there. I'm not, like, super into it, as you could probably tell from what I was saying there. Even the stuff that I'm more excited about is sort of like, yeah, maybe someday. But I also don't drive. I actually do not have a driver's license or, like, my own car, because I would be retarded, because I don't have a driver's license. I've just never gotten around to getting one. I actually have my lurker's permit, which I really should, like, just go and take the test and get my license, in case somebody has to get, like, carted to the hospital or something. It's just, you know, sort of the socially responsible thing to do. But, yeah, I would have a lot of trouble getting anywhere. Will the mirror be of much use in run? Yes, its use in run is quite different than its use out of run, I would think. But there's some pretty seriously sweet stuff that you can get out of the mirror. And I think that a lot of the buffs and stuff are actually even more relevant in run than they are at the end of the run. But it's sort of split on a lot of levels, because some of the stuff is very much intended for being used, you know, after the Survivor's Quest. And some of it is more useful sort of getting to that point. So, it's certainly intended to be useful in run. I don't claim that it's necessarily super balanced or anything, so I might have missed the mark, but it's certainly intended to be useful. Will we eventually be able to craft Hawk's Ore into something for ourselves? I was actually going to do that a really long time ago, and it ended up morphing into something completely different. I might be able to, I've got a project coming up I might be able to integrate that into. Maybe. No promises, but maybe. Is there more to discover with the toxic octopus eye, toxic crystal, and venomous angel? Are they all interconnected in some way? I mean, they're all toxic. I don't know about all three off the top of my head. I know at least one of them has something quite important to figure out that I think will send Ripples reevaluating a couple of other things, which are sort of ignored now. It might still be ignored, but so yeah. Is there more that needs to be investigated with a shrunken head and headless voodoo doll? Can we duct tape them together? They are not related. It would just be kind of weird, because the shrunken head is from just a complete, is from a fairly tight cycle, if that makes sense. And it would be weird to sort of go off on a tangent from that. There will at some point be some more, dolls and heads and doll heads stuff going on, but it probably won't involve the shrunken head. Out of 10, how many British housewives can tell the difference between widowed butter and a dead crab? I'm going to go with 3 out of 10. Say a plus or minus 4 margin of error, 26% to 34%. I think we can do that. Could I get a hint about how to do the Winter Forest Lake minigame? I have no idea what I'm supposed to do to get an empty shark, or how to do it beyond having diving gear equipped. Give me a second to see if I can formulate a hint here. How about this? None of the options in that are wasted. You will have to use every single one of them. Probably. Maybe not every single one of them. Damn close to every single one of them. You'll probably have to use every single one of them to get a shard. So, yeah. So, go in your mind, try some options you haven't tried before. You might do some goodness. Does the live wire technique always do shocking damage? I only ask because the closer form mentions electricity and doesn't say shocking like the standard use. The underwater form also omits the shocking and says it's shorted out, so that means it's a regular melee damage instead of shocking. What is the significance of shocking damage if it's still a melee technique? There isn't. It's just a word there. You can, shock people with it. But it's not... it's not a... It's like me saying, horrible or rending or terrific or, you fire a perfect shot and then somebody dodges it. It's not really a perfect shot anymore, is it? Yeah, but it's color, I guess. So there's no particular meaning to it saying that it's shocking damage. Do you like any of the ideas I had in the Kung Fu Threat? I haven't actually had a chance to completely read it yet. I glanced over it to start. It does match up with some things that I would like to do. There's sort of a... actually sort of overlaps with something that'll be coming out very soon, although not quite Kung Fu-y. The way that I want to do that stuff is unfortunately tied really deeply into the end game once the main quest is completed, which is like forever from now. I might be able to cheat some stuff like that in there with an unearthly item at some point, like a totem or something. But rest assured, techniques are one of the main focuses of the game. Straight up how it is. So, and there are ways of interacting with the techniques that, there are plenty of ways that techniques interact, with you and with each other that haven't been discovered yet, and even more that I haven't implemented. So there's a real, real broad range of potential interactions. Some pretty cool stuff lurking out there. So, I would not worry about running out of stuff. How is Puyo doing? Still stuck in Peoria. But otherwise good from the sound of things. I think she enjoyed Transformers 3. I certainly would agree that it was better than Transformers 2. I did not leave the theater feeling that, Michael Bay thought that I was a racist and would enjoy his racism. Not that it was, an amazing, deep-thinking movie or something, but, I don't want to feel dirty after my summer blockbuster. It was enjoyable, but that means we still have Captain America, Harry Potter, and probably Cowboys and Aliens to see. So Liz was like, that actually looks like it might be good. I was like, I will go watch a movie called Cowboys and Aliens. Let's be fair here. I don't like cowboy movies. I don't even really like alien movies, but, you just kind of have to, worst case scenario, it's a train wreck. Who doesn't like train wrecks? But I will tell Puyo, you said hi. Pass along your well wishes. Let's see, we've got, some questions from Al. What inspired the mirror? How did its implementation go? I want to say this was a really long time ago, so I probably don't have the right person. I want to say it was Sir Cheddar that sent me the message originally, but somebody was talking about how it would be really cool to have a, there's some older stuff, too, but the current form that you're seeing, somebody mentioned that it would be really cool to have a series of encounters revolving around a painting that you could get and then, basically adventure in. That's how it ended up being furniture, for sure. Some of the sort of thematic elements there. Ended up, sort of shining through in various levels. We've got sort of a I think probably in the Hermit area the most, probably. But yeah, I apologize if I've not correctly remembered who suggested that, but like I said, a long time ago. And originally, I was there's a concept. So really early in the game's development, largely before I settled on. Well, and by settled on, I mean I convinced Puya to do art for me. The game had a much sillier cast, like not Kingdom of Loathing level, like actually funny, but just sort of less serious, grim, I guess. And a little more like, a little more lighthearted stuff going on. And there was a side quest that I wanted to put in that actually still wasn't figured out by anyone at this point. So who knows? I might have put it in there. Kind of glad I didn't, you know, try and make that work and put that in retrospect, because it would have been a... There's some related stuff that's still in the game that nobody's figured out, like, forever. But there was going to be a side quest that was based off of the T.H. White, I believe the Sword of the Stone, the first one of his Arthur books. There's a exchange with Arthur Merlin, where Arthur gets turned into an ant and like interacts with the ant colony. And basically, it was sort of, you know, choice encounter combat driven like area with a side quest running through it. That went through that. It was, I mean, silly, but it probably would have ended up being quite a bit of fun. It's just not really in tone now. Still a little attached to it, though, I guess. I might end up pulling something more like that out there. But that ended up being... It's sort of interesting, really. The... I think most creative people will agree, but I'm going to quote Mark Rosewater on this one, because he's the one who I think has said it most forcefully that I've read, in that restrictions breed creativity rather than dampening it. And I think that that's actually a really good example, because I had this idea, and I think it's a pretty good idea, but it didn't really fit, right? And so it ended up spinning off into, I mean... You've got the Black Book, which I think is one of the best pieces of content in the entire game. You've got the Mirror, which I think is pretty freaking awesome. Although, you know, obviously the jury's still out on that. I think we're probably in rough agreement that the Black Book's really cool. People seem to at least be enjoying figuring out the Mirror, if not, like, having it once it's been figured out. So, we'll see how the Phase 2 goes there. Basically, all of David's quest for the survivors, so the caverns and the underwater areas, to some degree, the ghost ship. It was sort of the genesis for the etheric areas, how the etheric areas are handled, more or less, along with, you know, the separate prong of these areas that are interacted with very differently, just mechanically, with the book and the mirror. So, I mean, instead of getting one, you know, pretty cool subquest and some, like, chemistry recipes and stuff, and being able to fight giant bugs, well, quote, giant bugs, you ended up with, you know, the book, the mirror, and, like, something similar, I'm sure, would have happened with David's quest, but it ended up, I think, working very well. That sort of concept being carried over. And there's still some more mechanical stuff that needs to spin out from there. Actually, some of the stuff I was talking about that I haven't even implemented yet with techniques. And actually, some stuff with hacking that's implemented that nobody's found are all just spun off from this sort of, you know, central core that, like, I didn't end up using because of, you know, the restrictions of, like, tone and theme, that ended up really just creating this ridiculous amount of content. Yeah, and that's I think, what you'll find a lot of the times with creative activities. Is one of the new content adapts by any chance don't get beaten up? I think I will officially let that one slip since Al went through and did it, and I implemented it afterwards, after he asked me about it. So if it had already been in there, Al would have it. So I will officially let that one slip. Do all references to the Four mean Lo, Hal, David, and Sif, or is there another organization called the Four too? If you're asking me to interpret the ramblings of madmen, I can't help you much there. I don't think you've run into any other groups of Four people. Though I suppose there's a sort of there's an argument to be made for, actually, something that, never mind. I was going to be like, the thing, that you've totally, you know, seen in this content, I'm just going to bag the hell out of that. I apologize. That's, you know, it's really more of a 3 and then a 1 to get, like, the symmetry to work, right? But nobody's found it yet. So, well, I guess I shouldn't actually say that. Someone's, I believe, found one of them, and then just nobody went back and grabbed the other 3 and actually figured it out. I'd have to double check the wiki. Anything left to find with the list of names, urban lore skill? Indirectly, yeah. There's still some stuff to figure out. Nothing like huge. Like, small huge. Like, an actual piece of content, not like a, you know, +2 bonus to Will XP if you get a particular TV program. Well, you know, you have one of the items equipped and it mentions, you know, a certain person in the Matsuo television program. Not that's crazy! But an actual, like, game object. A few questions about the Midgar player. Do the recordings drop with some particular trigger? Is it random? The interval between the recordings seems very variable. Sometimes it takes 2 credits, sometimes 40 plus. Most things in the game, as a rule, are partially but not entirely random. That's how I tend to like to design things. This is an example of that. So there will be, like, you know, a trigger that's like, if your, you know, stealth power is, you know, greater than 10 to 50, random number between 10 and 50, at the end of this fight, you get, like, the shiny thing. Which really means that you'll end up, I mean, you know, the more stealth power you get, the more likely it is, and the more often you'll get it, and there's a lower bound there. And then there are other things that I'll accumulate a counter and then, like, check against it, partially randomly. So to use the same sort of example, you know, adds a counter at the end of every fight that's, like, equal to your stealth power, and then when it gets over, like, 200 to 250, you know, it gives you the shiny thing. Neither of which is, like, super spadeable, clearly. Which isn't why I do that. I don't specifically do that to be a jackass. I think that direct clean connections are both easier to spade and more rewarding to spade. I tend to end up doing it anyway a lot of the time because, sometimes it ends up just being, like, it ends up giving me the sort of curve that I want for how often stuff occurs. But it also means a level of unpredictability makes it harder for people to optimize themselves out of having a good time. If, you know, you're counting down to, you know, the next time, you know, recording drops or whatever, you know, oh, I have to, you know, do such and such on this turn to make sure that I get the recording that I want or whatever, it just, I don't know, it seems like a lot of bother. So I tend to, and the random factor sort of smooths that out. So what I want to do a lot of the time in, like, driving behavior is saying, like, okay, so you want to use, let's say, ranged techniques. Let's go with stealth techniques to keep sort of our model going. So you want to have a high stealth power from the example before. So you want to have a high stealth power, not, like, on one turn, right? You want to have a high stealth power basically all the time. You know, not all the time, right? You know, you just need to make the decision and sort of stick with it. Just because it's such a... Like, I don't mind people having to go in and be like, oh, you know, I'm gonna, you know, go into this different area, I need, you know, breathing apparatus, or I need a gas mask, or I need, you know, my slags, containment suit, whatever. What I don't want to do is be like, okay, so it's been, you know, 15 turns, I need to equip all my stealth stuff so that I can get, you know, the stealth thing. I want to be like, okay, if you want the stealth thing, put all your stealth stuff on, start using your stealth techniques, you'll get it eventually, hopefully within, you know, a relatively small range of randomness that you do actually have some control over, even if it's not super immediately obvious. I try to increase things like I was saying with, you know, even if it's just, like, a range of random numbers, taking the stealth level into that lets you be like, oh, okay, so at least, you know, if I pile on all of my stealth, which is sort of like the, what the game's telling you there, right? Just put on all your stealth and run with it. I want to reward that rather than being like, oh, I needed to get, like, 10 stealth, so I didn't need, you know, my stealthy pants. I could have worn, like, my pants with, you know, the... spiky bits on them, what have you. Yeah. Long circular thought process there aside. But there's, specifically for the recordings, there is a random factor there. It is not, as I recall, I'm not going to dig into the code right now, but as I recall, the random factor itself is not actually very large. And it is sort of a repeated thing. Which is to say, you know, if there's a world of difference between having you know, roll a die and that's how many times you have to do this, and roll a die every time you do this, and if it's under the number of times you've done this, you get it. Which neither of those directly maps to the recording, but that's what I'm talking about with multiple attempts. It ends up creating a much better curve. I think that you're just seeing people approaching the combats very differently. And a little bit of legitimate randomness. If I'm remembering correctly, you said that parts of it are not fully obtainable when launched. We need stuff from content you hadn't yet released with the Survivor's Quest. Yeah, it was with the Survivor's Quest. Is it now obtainable? Yes. And has the thing that wasn't released been found yet? Yes. It looks like we're missing some base code parts still. I'm pretty sure you're not. You might not be... It's possible that nobody's tried it, but I'm pretty sure that what I was talking about has been found, for what that's worth. So the next question should do the high-level S-seed, suspicious seed, sniper seed lead to anything? Seed implies that it would, but I haven't been able to find anything. Let me double-check. Yes, they are not the top level there. There's a lot of for reference, I guess, there are 35 music buffs in the game total, music effects. Most of them are related to the Midgard player. Either most of them are, like, damn near half, at least. There's a lot of... There are a lot of stuff in there, and a lot of them are pretty cool. And if you haven't found those explained, so I haven't found some other things, so that makes me feel better about my life. Yes, there is some other stuff still there. How many message bug reports do you get on a regular day? How many on a day when new content rolls? I would say I usually get between, like, 0 and 3 on a day that, I haven't rolled content in a while. Excuse me. Sleepy time, apparently. If I haven't rolled content in a while, I'll usually just get a bare handful. If I on days when new content rolls, it depends how well I did a lot with the bug testing. But anywhere from 5-ish to 20. That sounds about right. Pretty sure I've never launched anything without even having like a bunch of typos in it, because that's just sort of how I roll. Is there a way to switch zones in the mirror once you pip to contact, short of resetting? That's me deciding if I want to tell you. Give me a second. I'll just stick with the usage of the mirror in run and the usage of the mirror post run are very different, and they interacts very differently with different stages of the run. So would some kind of quest receive omnimal access in run be out of the question? Yes. I might, you know, give that a bunch of thought and reconsider it, but I really doubt it. Yeah, I don't think so. I'm pretty sure that'll never happen, unless I, at some point, put in some sort of run for people that don't actually want to play the game, and you can just go to Omnimon and get everything. Omnimal being available in run makes the game terrible. And I tried to make it work, and that was a terrible idea. That was a ridiculous mistake on my part. Any sort of competitive anything immediately becomes about how much you can abuse the mall at that point. So the only way that a quest like that would work, or an unlock like that would work, is if it took so long that you were completely out of the running for anything of a faintly competitive nature, and was so awesome that the fact that it basically just trivializes the rest of the run, yeah, I'm not seeing that happening. The problem with it is really just that the gift system makes this slightly less retarded, believe it or not, but it's just a question of I'm not sure how I can even really explain this to make sense to anywhere other than the inside of my head, but regardless of what the cast system is in, that just makes it less, like, obnoxious. The gift system, I'm sorry if I said guest there. Regardless of whether that's in, it gives you the tools to not play the rest of the game effectively, to trivialize all the rest of the content, and to just be complete dick to everyone else in any sort of competitive concept. So that's one of those things where I just kind of have to put my foot down and say, I'm not going to let you ruin the game for yourselves and everyone else. And you may not, and, you know, all your friends and everyone, you know, may not, but anyone who actually uses it for anything, even faintly, like buying things, yeah, not happening. I would actually rate, if you ask me again on another issue, I might have forgotten it, but off the top of my head, I would probably rate, thinking that it would work out to have Omni-Mall, or anything of that nature, behind a quest wall of some sort, because, I mean, you need it to get, you know, some sort of way to get on the net, etc., etc. But if I would rate that as probably the single dumbest design decision that I've made in the history of the game, that was me being a complete retard. And it's not something that I think, even if I had an amazing idea and I thought it would work, I would be like, that's probably just me being a starry-eyed idiot again. I'm not going to say this will actually never happen, but I would be so beyond shocked if I actually came up with something that would make... that would result in a fun game where that happened. And I don't mean, like... I understand that I can just, like, kick anybody who uses it out of, like, you know, competitive anything. That's fine. What it does is... hand you solutions to problems that the game is supposed to be about finding. So instead of playing the game, you're just having people give you the answers around them. And that explains how. It's sort of like, I've talked a couple times before about limiting inventory, which is something that, you know, seems like a good idea, and I've got sort of like the pseudo, not really very realistic, but sort of kind of realistic thing going on. So it would sort of make sense if you could only carry, like, you know, like 100 pounds of items or whatever, however that wanted to be measured. And how, by doing that, the game becomes about managing your inventory. It's just how it is. Like Diablo 2. Looking forward to Diablo 3, by the way. But Diablo 2 is basically about managing your inventory. And Diablo 1 is basically about managing your inventory. And there's a little bit of clickety-clickety-clickety and, like, some choosing skills and stuff. But, like, really the driving force of that game is that inner view of your backpack and, like, the Harajuku Cube. Which is cool. I like the Harajuku Cube, don't get me wrong. But that's what you got. So hopefully that makes sense. But like I said, I would be stunned. The other... it does sort of beg a comparison with Kingdom of Loathing. In that... in that there's, I'm not sure people have access to the, they don't have access to the mall in Ronin in Softcore, right? Which isn't called Softcore now, it's Normal or whatever, but I will forever call it Softcore. But they do have access to the mall in Casual. And, I mean, I guess I could always create a, you know, casual reset type that gets you absolutely nothing. It's just, like, I'm not going to do that ever, really. That's just, yeah. That does nothing for me. If you're trying to do something crazy and stupid in normal, in Kingdom of Loathing, you know, you burn through your own turns, and then you get stuff through, you know, gifts or the mall or what have you. And then you do whatever kind of stupid stuff you need to do. Even that being aside, like the fact that you can, you know, break out of that, the way that Metroplexity's quests are structured, because I have a lot of focus on making sure that there are multiple ways through the quests, I am not ever going to go through and design all of them so that they're balanced both, I mean, even like attempting to be balanced, right? Like the sort of eyeballing it that I do now. Trying to balance the length between both an actual game and a game where you have access to them all, that's never going to happen. Like, ever. Because, I mean, a lot of those, you utterly trivialize non-combat paths through them. Some of them have quest items, but, like, you know, Slag's Antidote, you just buy it on the mall, and you've got, you know, access into Slag's, Containment Suit, just buy it on the mall, and these are things that I don't want to be like, oh, this is a quest item, you can't sell it to people, that's terrible, really, fuck that. And even if I did, like, oh, look, metallic powder and, like, online pants and blah 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 blah. And that's just, like, goes on and on and on and on. Basically just ruining every single, I'm not going to say every single, but destroying my ability to design non-combat paths through the game that don't hinge on quest items. Well, I guess that involve items and don't hinge on quest items. Which is, that's really, really annoying. And I will probably never do that. So, hopefully it doesn't sound like I'm super pissed off at you for asking that question or anything. I'm super pissed off at myself for being stupid enough to think that that could have worked. At one point, and I'm pissed off at the concept because the concept breaks a lot of things that are way more vulnerable to me, way more valuable to me, than letting people have access to sell shit to other players during their runs. So, not gonna get you at all, just, not gonna happen. Is there any gameplay difference for intimidating a rushing saber? Yes. I think the idea of skills or items you can only get by resetting a few times is really cool. Currently, the Twisting Silver Blade is the only item I can think of that uses a mechanic, though. Any plans for more? Any out there that we haven't found? yes, actually, there are some more out there that you haven't found. I guess it's not technically a skill or item, but you'll find it at some point, and you'll be like, oh, that's the thing Landon was talking about. He's a obnoxious, not helpful sort of person. But other than that one, I think there are a couple of others that might be floating around. Actually, there's a really good example that'll be noticeable tonight, and I'll probably get some complaints about it, but is intentionally that way, so I guess is not too big a deal. It's not something that I have a lot of chips in, though. But keep in mind that the beta reset and the actual, like, full game reset, like, when we're done, mechanics are different, and the full game actual reset one, will have a lot more rewardiness to it. Like, there'll be a lot more kickbacks of various forms for finishing runs. And some of those will probably end up being, like, multiple run rewards. You know, hey, you just finished, you know, getting, oh, you know, a run with Eclipse Purist and a run with no Eclipse, whatever. Like, oh, here's your, you know, shiny thing. That's a terrible example. I probably wouldn't do that, but that's sort of like, there are going to be a lot of paths through and completing different combinations of those paths, either from neat things you get through the paths, combining with one another, or through the rewards you get at the end, combining with one another, or through, like, terrible hidden things that if you do, like, certain runs, certain ways, in certain orders, because, you know, that's going to be awesome, and will make people's heads explode, which is sort of the goal, I think, let's see. Has it been long enough to release another hint about how the elegantly torn pants work? I think you're good. I would just, play around with them some more. See what they do. Use some of the patchings that you may not think are very good ideas because they seem wasteful. I guess that's probably my next hint. When you're fighting multiple enemies the same name at the same time, any chance you can get a mouse over, alt text over the opponent's names to tell you which opponent did which action, like how it works when one writhing mass blocks another one, would be awesome for spading opponent chains, etc. They're always displayed in the same order. So the run on, it's just left to right, the way that they're displayed, when they go through. So it's just like, whatever you did, left, next person on the right, next person on the right, left, next person on the right, next person on the right. And obviously, like, you'll kill some of them periodically, and that might throw things off, but, might be able to add that. But as a general principle, it's just, it's just left to right, so it shouldn't give you too many problems. When cyber technology gets added, will it work like adding additional equipment slots is interesting, or is it a more permanent thing, like something you'd have to go to a doctor to get changed? Well, I will leave that as an open question. Because you'll figure that out when cyber technology goes in. Are the bats in the sewers real bats? Are they etherically enchanted paper mache bats that escaped from the Halloween party? If I recall correctly, they're actually real bats. Although, spoiler alert, well, like, past spoiler alert, there was actually a, one of the things that, like, branched in that Halloween was whether, the etheric version, whether there would be a different etheric version that counter the hideous, like, bat things, that, like, destroy all the lives. But you didn't get it. You just got normal bats, I'm sorry to say. Which is, you know, really kind of unfortunate, because, you know, hideous bat things that destroy all the lives. Let's see. Strange ore plus protein analyzer equals empty injector equals strange seal. I'm assuming you mean strange ore through the protein analyzer, put the results in the empty injector, get a new skill. I do love putting terrible, terrible things into the injector to give you new skills. I don't think running the strange ore through the protein analyzer would be one of them, because explicitly anything that comes out of the protein analyzer should be givable flow to get advancement on the quest. And I guess that could be one of your weird, like, multi... I don't think that would actually... Well, I guess... Yeah, no. I don't think the logistics of that works out. Because whatever came out of the protein analyzer would also have to be a quest item. The strange ore, I believe, is a quest item. The empty injector, I believe, is a quest item. So there might be a more complicated loop in your future at some point, but I don't expect that to become a thing. Thanks a bunch. You're welcome. Thanks for readjusting the difficulty on the vine climbing. You're welcome. I had tested it with a bunch of bugs that made it easier that I didn't immediately notice. So when I fixed all of the bugs, it became I'm not sure if it became, like, utterly, insanely difficult, or if it became impossible. I think, technically, you can still beat it. But I know exactly what to do, and I certainly as hell couldn't. And I have, like, a bazillion stats and everything. So, yeah, that had to be desperately readjusted. Now that shields are potentially an important part of melee combat, will be some way to craft a shield if you have trouble getting your hands on a Midgard Riot Shield. I would not be surprised to see that in the future. I would not expect, however, a shield frame that you just, like, put materials into, because that just doesn't work for me conceptually. But, I mean, there will be more shields put into the game as it matures and develops. Was the context-free hint Order Matters that you gave a couple of podcasts ago a hint about how to get the Warrior of the Sea skills, or did you have something else in mind? I don't honestly remember, but it certainly could have been. And, I mean, it could, you know, be in reference to something else that I hadn't even released yet. I'm guessing not, because I'm not quite that good, but... also, you mentioned a couple podcasts ago that one of the discussion pages is only a few percentage points off from how to get a skill, where you're talking about the post about light on the Royal Herb... Just Royal Orb... No, I was not talking about that one. No, I was talking about a much older one about a different skill that hasn't been discovered for, like, ever. But good job on finding that, at least, like, as close as you are now. I know, I read the post, and it sounds like you're still narrowing down the exact details. Is the Fire Tamer skill realistically obtainable now, or require resources that don't really exist in-game yet? I would be pleasantly surprised if someone could get that now. There's more to it than is immediately obvious. And I don't think that anyone is trying to do what they need to make it work. But... but I'm not honestly sure, even if everything was going right, that you have the tools you need yet to make it work. I'm open to being proven wrong, though. I mean, the code's in, and a lot of stuff has been added since then, some of which will help out quite a bit. But who knows, I guess. Any chance that I could have the address of the Sebastian testing leaderboard, only not the rest of the golden chip site, along with your unearthly items and your set? It would be nice to, if he would keep track of how that's going in run. I would rather not do that, because it's kind of a pain. I was planning on adding current, like, standings to gang pages and profile pages, if that would soothe your undying desire for information. I'm planning on doing that anyway. So that would be awesome. If not, I could probably make that work eventually, but it would be pretty low on the priority list, just because I'd need to. Pry apart a bunch of code that's bound up and figure out some place to... Well... Okay, I know where I can put it in the interface. I might be able to make that work for you. It probably won't have anything to do with Zach. Because it just doesn't have anything to do with Zach. But I might be able to. I'll still have to look at the code. I'm not sure if I'm keeping a running tally of all the stuff I need to do there. Old running tally. Okay. What I will probably end up doing, this might still be a giant pain for code, but I think it'll probably be worth it, is having that board work sort of like the reset leaderboards, in that it'll be listed, assuming, you know, you have the appropriate flags from having broad access to it. At some point. It'll be listed in everybody's profile and in the gang listings. And like the reset runs, those will be clickable to get to the main board. Don't quote me on that, though. That's what I'd like to do. I'm assuming that the code can work out, but I've definitely been wrong before. I noticed the clause changed to type cyber arms. Does this mean that cyber is getting implemented soon? It means that I've been screwing around with it. It's not actually the only change to the claw. There's another change, unless I haven't set that to display to everyone else. I see that I have home Southside on my character sheet now, which I think is new. Are there new furnishings and a house anywhere in the card soonish? No. not like really soon. I don't think that's new, though, because I certainly didn't add it recently. So I think that's you not having noticed it, to be perfectly honest. Was a series of new armor recipes culminating in the Tinker's Pistol, mostly in order to introduce a base item to craft into the Mirror-Handed Pistol, or is there still unfound content in there somewhere? I don't want to say that it was just, just for the mirror handled pistol, I realized that there was sort of, it was sort of lopsided between the melee and the ranged weapon crafting. So I went and fixed that. But the reason that I noticed that it was lopsided was because I was going in and doing the mirror handled pistol and the post-apocalyptic spear. And let's see. Hyrule Duel? I'm not honestly sure how to pronounce your name. It has two questions here. What were the possible end states of the virus event? I don't really like to talk about those too much. Just in that... it always seems to create more, like, division and bickering than, like, interest. And because those sorts of events are in a lot of ways the... an analog to how things, you know, always happen. You can't really say what would have happened. At least not get any very good answers. I mean, there were a range of options. The meat and potatoes that came out of that, though, were the subversion testing and the, although it didn't have to be the subversion testing, but the mechanic there for taking over sites, and the, problem dishes. And those were sort of, it was just sort of like how those were going to get launched, and like the story implications. Is the Ghoulish Crown and any products thereof the only thing associated with the Grizzly Crown of Teeth? Don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure that each of the items in the book only has one effect outside the book. I'm not 100% sure that that's right, but at the very least, it's a good general rule of thumb. And a bunch more questions from Francis Fixon. please forgive me for this. I went through the item list and pretty much picked out a bunch of items I was curious about. Feel free to skip these if you think they're stupid. Considering that Aqua Rigae is made up of 1 to 3 parts nitric acid and hydrochloric acid, respectively, which would mean that fuming acid and powerful acid have to be hydrochloric or nitric acid. Which one is which? Actually, fuming acid is a particular type of nitric acid, and that's why it requires Bacuano as a requirement, because it's sort of a ghetto way to make, you know, nitric anything, but it is full of delicious, delicious nitrogen. The general rule, and, like, obviously I don't feel too bad playing, you know, fast and loose with chemistry, but fuming acid is nitric acid and hydrochloric, is powerful acid, which is hydrochloric. The interesting thing, actually, is that if I were a complete jerk, and items worked differently, both Aqua Rigae and fuming acid have rather short shelf lives. So they would probably decay, like a rollover or whatever, into, I guess, whatever they decay into. I'm not honestly sure. Maybe it's, wouldn't entirely surprise me if it was water, but it might just be, like, normal hydrochloric acid. Will there be any real future use in-game for Aqua Rigae? Presently, it is only used for playing with gold powder, pretty much useless, and changing around achromatic masses, and also useless unless more appear. It performs an important purpose, I guess, in the life cycle of making sure that there are enough of them, but, yeah, in making sure that they don't just, like, get locked and vanish away. But the only really good use is to make crack spores. Actually, there's another use for them, which is not, like, superlatively important. But as a rule, I will probably continue to put it to new and exciting uses. I mean, it's a really just ridiculously powerful acid. But the reason that it was actually put in the game is because I needed gold powder, which admittedly is pretty much useless. But I needed to be able to make that the only acid that's powerful enough to process it down. Yeah, that's right, because there's a two-step reaction there. Yeah, sorry. Thinking about chemistry to myself. Is Ocarina, so I put in fuming acid to create Ocarina to make gold powder, because I'm a giant dork. Can we make it as a throwing weapon? Only if you really, 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 really want to mess yourself up, probably. I considered it, but I don't know. It just seems almost disrespectful at some level. Suggestion that chlorauric acid could be a thrown weapon, comboing with electricity, which. Not a terrible idea. The way the techniques interrelate is fairly rigid. In that it's for the most part a going forward sort of thing. It can't at this point, just technology wise. I'd have to figure out how to, code a bunch of stuff. It would have to be each electrical technique being like, did they use chlorauric acid last? Okay, let's do this. Rather than sort of like how like swordplay works. So you can have something that says, this technique is checking the previous one, but there isn't like, and you can get like a buff until the end of the round that says, like, all of my, melee attacks are plus 2 power or whatever. But unless I recoded it to either allow electricity to do something like that, it should be kind of neat. I mean, just give them their own defense, basically. Kind of neat, but I don't think really necessarily something that's great for the game. Recoded all of the electrical attacks and did all of those going forward. Which is the type of thing that I try not to do, because it just ends up being a lot of work. What is the purpose of the tracking chip item? It clearly doesn't do a lot, because it's broken, but it's in there so that you have something that you can hold in your proverbial hand and say, fuck me, what's going on? Any uses it may or may not have beyond that are subsidiary to that purpose. Is there any existing use for a paper boat? I've been meaning to not, like, have it do anything even remotely useful, but to code that so that it does something, adorable. At least tells you, like, what kind of puddles they have where you're at that you're sailing it through, but clearly it's not a top priority. Why can't we eat destroying angels? Wouldn't a massive beat debuff and damage be more appropriate, or would a character actually die if we were able to eat them? It's just one of those things that, it would be hilarious, don't get me wrong, but even most of the things that appear to just, like, beat you about the head and shoulders when you do them generally have some purpose. I mean, either beating you because you're doing it wrong, so to speak, or the thing, the beating that you are receiving actually has some secondary hidden function. Whereas a destroying angel probably just wouldn't. I mean, I could come up with one, but it's really just not a very not a very good thing to eat. And you don't have a stomach pump item yet, so that would just end badly. Will there ever be a gloves equipment slot? No. Any other equipment slots for that matter besides cyberware? There will, at some point, I'm not sure if this will be handled as equipment slot, but you'll be able to get vehicles at some point, by which I mean, like, cars. Because Metro certainly is more than good enough to get around all the parts of towns where people can't afford cars. But when you start talking about areas like downtown, or if you ever wanted to leave Metroplex, you'd want to get a car. Any real use for empty champagne bottles? Not making people feel like idiots when they drink their champagne. Nuts and bolts, polysteel supports. I mean, polysteel supports, obviously, you've already found a couple of uses for. Nuts and bolts are... don't quote me on nuts and bolts. But if I recall correctly, nuts and bolts are a flavorful way of getting you... some materials, but requiring a salvaging kit. Why not make actual steel support beams to use as weapons in construction instead of polysteel ones? They just mostly don't use steel anymore. And the polysteel supports that you're using are not awesome. He talks about that a bit in the description. I mean, they're just sort of like a bunch of lumps of polysteel melted together with a welding torch. An actual, like, proper, like, I-beam or H-beam or anything like that would require a lot more than your welding kit to make those. And I mean, like, I don't foresee the player characters having access to a steel foundry at any point, but weird things have happened. Is there any more content to discover for the Polar Cable, the Haunted Bed, the Hammer Sledge? I think at least one of those has some pretty minor stuff still associated with it. For the most part, they're just going about their own devices. Any hints on the hidden concept of the replica sword? Nope. Will Old Town be a town by the water? Nope, and there isn't any salt water nearby. We're just not close to the ocean. It says, if so, then is it salt water? That's what I was responding to. No, Old Town is not by the lake. It's further inland. I know it's really early, but what are your ideas for the next unearthly item? How can our players help us with that? That is, if you want anyone to help with the development process in the first place. I've got this one under control. I mean, you're always welcome to send in ideas, and they'll end up coming back totally warped, and you won't even recognize them, typically, but... if we kill enough turrets and salvage enough parts from them, could we eventually be able to get our own turret or our apartment as a furniture item? It's really... just mechanically, a pain to make those sorts of large combinations on any sort of experimental basis, if that makes sense. Because I'm not going to have, like, the, you know, 9-slot Herodric cube of crafting. I mean, probably. If there is, it's going to be, you know, a different crafting thing other than what you're looking at now. It would have been kind of funny for coding, actually, but it's not here or there. But if I were going to do something like that, it would involve a bunch of ingredients and finding the recipe separately, like maybe have it be a salvage result or something. But seeing as how, as much as as much as I loved Usurper back in the day, and the BBSs were Usurper, I'm not actually sure how that's supposed to be pronounced. I don't foresee any sort of breaking into other people's rooms, so turret would just be, you know, morale boost rather than anything that's terribly useful. I mean, maybe you could hang some garland on at Christmas time. What does the acronym in KZR Needler stand for? Kind of like laser. It sort of stands for KZR now. The company that makes them, let me double check here. I'm just going to say it's the company that makes them, and it's in Russian, so I didn't actually name it. It's the name of the company that makes the knockoffs. I don't know if it's actually in Russian, because I'm really bad with Russian. Although, actually, my bathroom upstairs is labeled in Russian, if that helps. I guess I could, like, choose random Cyrillic letters off of there. But yeah, it's the name of the company that makes the knockoffs. What does the MK9 and MK11A mean for each of the Midgard guns? What happened to the MK10? M stands for Midgard. K stands for... Oh, it's kinetic. That's right. Yeah, Midgard kinetic. And then just the number. You haven't run into any MK10s yet. MK11A are the early tests for the MK11, which is, you know, looking to be pretty interesting. And the MK9 is actually a pretty old model. So if you run into anyone with a more, like, modern Midgard gun, that would be an MK10. So I would expect to get shot with plenty of MK10s as you continue through the game. You just haven't run into any yet. Shouldn't a toxic spear inflict a poison status? That's another one of those things where it's like only if I really wanted to go through and... make a bunch of changes to, like, every technique ever. Or I can sort of hook it in, like, the inflicts, I forget what it's called, facing you, actually, but the weapons that inflict bleeding, I could code it in like that. But every time I do that, I have to code it in manually, so it's sort of a pain. Is there going to be an expansion in the future of types of weapons? I mean, the weapon types are very freeform in that, I mean, like, you have needlers, but, like, the only thing that makes a needler or not, is a flag that I set at the item, and those are completely, I mean, I could just put in, like, you know, Kinax Superior Halitosis on that, and, you know, key a bunch of stuff off of, you know, how terrible my breath smells. The types of weapons are sort of... vaggy. it's not something that I really think about a lot, as far as, like, a content vector, exactly. I mean, there are a lot more types of weapons out there in the world. Speaking of... my breath. There are a lot more types of weapons out there in the world, but they are I mean, there are sort of two things there. I guess backing up, there are a lot more high-end handguns that you haven't run into, or like you've seen paint mentions of but haven't run into. There's several classifications of swords you haven't run into, both like fencing blades, which obviously you just haven't run into anyone yet who's big on the fencing scene, although it's a pretty important sport now, just corporate pride and like viewership wise. You've also got swords that the Yakuza use, mostly to strike fear into the hearts of their enemies, but also, you know, to occasionally, you know, cut people up. And like I said, there's a lot of handguns. There's, you know, sniper rifles, stuff like that. Exciting things like explosives and so forth. Most of the... I mean, I wouldn't expect to start seeing, like... They're very much still on the... I mean, not like the same technological level we have now, not on the same sort of technological plane. So you're not about to see, like, you know, phasers or anything. But, I guess I just don't, like, the extent that the weapons are grouped together the way that they are is largely because of the effects of crafting and just, like, the fact that I don't want to stop and request new item art from Guyo every time and then produce a new weapon. Yeah. I guess that question is a lot more fluid and freeform than you'd probably think at first glance. Thanks for putting that mint, by the way, totally killer. Should have just stuck with the coffee breath. Ooh. Alright. Thanks for putting up with me so much and answering questions. You're welcome. Al responding to some stuff. Al is actually pointing out something that I messed up, in that the Ruby Apple, was supposed to be way harder to make, and had really high stats for what was required, to make it. Sorry about that. It's down to, 4-4 rather than 5-5. It was supposed to be at the top of this mad tree of, crafting. But I think the 4-4 is still fine on offhand. Anyway, hopefully you'll drown your sorrows in my exciting revelation tonight. Let's see, I think I talked about everything I wanted to with Mir and rambled, you know, a fair bit about things that may or may not have been even remotely interesting or relevant. And I managed to go almost 2 hours on my 4 posts, so I think that I am done, and I will get this posted, and like I said, we've got some stuff coming out at Rollover tonight, and then going forward, I've got Gen Con coming up pretty fast. I will probably not be doing anything terribly exciting before then. I have certainly learned my lesson that I don't want to post something and go to Gen Con because I end up spending way too much time in my room fixing bugs. So I would not expect to hear too much from me until the following Monday. Or, you know, later But I will start on my on some more excitement there. Probably be coming out with some of the hacking subversion testing stuff we were talking about on the forums. It's probably my next small project. Thanks for listening. Thanks for playing, and thanks a ton for donating. It's been very, very exciting. I know that we're sort of working through the backlog from the donating for Relief to Japan. So donations haven't been, rocking my world for the mirror, but they've actually still been very strong, which is really cool. So that means that I got to do something good and totally not get shafted for it. So that works out. I'm a fan, at least. I think that's everything. So I'll be back next time for Metroplexity Podcast 21. Thanks. Have a good one.